Beloved Camrose Community Church, and those of you who are going to stay for this session, I don't think I'm going to try to fit in a full session this round. We are talking about prayer, and it was highly ambitious to think we could fit it all in half an hour to begin with anyway. So I'm taking it from the Lord. Let's split that up. Let's just, you know, chew on that over a week. And before any of you ask, before we get started, I promise that I'm really not going to break into a rendition of Ring of Fire, though I look like I might. Although it's tempting. So let's just prayerfully begin our session on prayer. Father, we come before you knowing we can do nothing without your Spirit, that we want to do everything we do in the flow of your Spirit and in obedience to you. And so we come together this morning. And Lord, I'm asking for fresh wind and fresh fire as we consider the deeply important sacred ground of your Spirit in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for just that fresh anointing, that refreshing that is coming upon our spirit because you love to meet with us and we are your people, your beloved. Thank you, Jesus, for the power that you have given us and bestowed upon us in prayer and many other ways. We receive you as the living word, Lord, to come in through the scripture, through the rhema, through your presence, and do the work of changing our lives. We just receive you right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Yes, we did touch on the word last week, and thank you, Shannon, for bringing up that scripture, which I had to edit just because I had of time, that really the Lord is the word. He's the living word that comes to us. He comes to us in many different ways, but one of the very powerful ways he comes to us is through the scripture, the actual word. But when I say the word does the work, what's really doing the work is Jesus in you. Through the word, his word, you're abiding in his word that he's spoken and that has been spoken through the Godhead. So just to clear that up. And I thank Betty for such a on-point worship set this morning. And she started with this, the heart of worship. I bring you more than a song. May I just adapt that a little bit? I bring you more than a prayer. For a prayer in itself is not what you have desired. You search much deeper within through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. And that is really the critical plutonium core about prayer that I want you to take away this morning. So welcome back to our series on the compulsories. And I came up with a thought this week, not just because I named it, not just because of the compulsories being the figures in skating, but also there's a word, compulsive behavior. And the compulsories are teaching us how to make spirit man behavior our number one compulsive behavior. It's our fallback position. It's our default position. When it all goes pear-shaped, my compulsion is to pray. Oh, my compulsion is to get in the word. So that there's this kind of a tie between that thought. And so we're talking about the building blocks involved in becoming a real disciple of Christ. The building blocks of becoming a discipled one who abides in his word and who becomes free indeed. And last week, we looked at the word and how that aids to our equation of intimacy, building vocabulary between you and the Holy Spirit. Little by little, day by day, incident by incident, discovery by discovery. So we've been invited into the throne room of God through these sacred grounds. And I encourage you, I heard a phrase from Graham Cook this week and it hit my spirit. Enter the majesty of his affection for you. That's what we're doing here on Sacred Ground. And I highlighted last week the fact that our spirit man, who is seated with Christ in heavenly places, who is joined, who is one with Christ, is much, much faster than our soul man. He picks things up, he's moving at light speed, but your soul man, your mind, your emotions, your appetites, all that goes into your soul is much, much slower. So we have to be patient in the process to let our brains catch up with what's going on so we have understanding. But that doesn't mean you're not being changed even when you don't understand it. So what's really happening through this sacred ground is that we are allowing, rediscovering our spirit man, and we're allowing him to become intertwined with our soul again, in the proper way it's supposed to be that God created it in the beginning. And not only that, but that we become a people whose spirit man dominates our existence instead of just our senses, our memory, our thought, the past. Is that a radical thought for us? To let the eternal creature that we are, the new creation that we are, dominate our existence. And so we talked also last week about presence versus performance. And usually, most of the time, our trouble with sacred ground and growing in spiritual disciplines is because really we've been taught subliminally to be more concerned with performance than presence. And when we start grinding, we're grinding on the performance. We got to go back to the presence. And in his presence is fullness of joy, is rest. And that's why he keeps saying this, be still and know that I am God. He keeps taking us back to presence, taking us back to presence. And of course, I talked as well about the difference between positioning yourself versus the practical elements of how to do the word, how to pray, you know. We need to be properly positioned in order to get anything out of the practical. And but we need both elements, right? And so that's, once again, I have written down those practical elements for you so you don't have to totally scramble, because I do tend to move at quite a pace, faster than writing. And I just want you to relax and listen. So let's define prayer. Interestingly enough, prayer is not actually nailed down in a formal, formulatic way in Scripture, even in the Law of Moses. We watch people do it. It's only exemplified. The closest thing we get is when Jesus is speaking in the Gospels and he says, don't pray like the hypocrites in the marketplace. Don't pray like the heathen for their many words, but go into your prayer closet, pray to your Father. Your Father already knows the things that you need. That's really the closest thing to a formula we get through all of Scripture on how to pray. Hence the confusion. Not surprising. But Google, this is Google's definition, a solemn request for help or an expression of thanks addressed to God or whatever else you worship. But prayer is complicated. It's super simple, but it's actually kind of layered and complicated. It's kind of complex. It's like a diamond. It has many facets, all of them really pretty as they turn. So we're going to kind of bring ourselves into prayer with that understanding. And prayer, we pray differently. We pray from a different level now that we're New Testament believers, because Jesus told us we can pray, we can ask in his name. Now that's authority right there. Before, in the Old Testament, even if you were super righteous, even if you were super anointed, you know, prayer was a little iffy. Did God want it? Didn't he want it? You know, but now we are much clearer about what the Lord wants and how to stand in his name. We stand in his righteousness as we come before the throne. And that makes prayer a whole different ballgame for us New Testament believers. And think of prayer as looking into a mirror. We're looking into the face of God. But as we look into his countenance, wait a second, I can see myself as he meant me to be, as he created me to be. We actually grow in our own identity as we look in the face of God. And we are seeing ourselves as we really are in his sight. We are loved. We are lovable. Say it. I am lovable. I am lovable. You might not feel it, so keep saying it till you do. We learn to see the love, the acceptance, the mercy, the forgiveness, the tender indulgence that the Lord has for us. Okay, let's just lay down this groundwork. The Lord loves you more than you love yourself. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to reveal himself to you. He wants to set you free. He wants to give you one good thing after another. And he wants to bestow his power on you more today than yesterday and more tomorrow. This is the baseline of our understanding. And any thoughts we have about ourselves, our history, even our history with the Lord, our history with our families, our past experience, anything that does not line up with those truths needs to be jettisoned. It's got to go. We need to identify it and then, you know, even just formally renounce it. Say, I'm not going to think that about myself anymore. That is a lie. That is wrong. And I call that, as I have said before, unloading the camel. All the negative backstory of our mind that we bring into prayer or we bring into sacred ground, as Jesus said, remember he said in the Gospels, how difficult it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. He's like a camel going through the eye of the needle. Well, it's not just about being rich. It's not just about money. It's about when we're carrying this backload of negativity, we are not going to be able to go through the very narrow eye of intimacy properly. Unload the camel. And we can take all those negative attitudes, strongholds, emotional toxicity, lies from the enemy, take him to the foot of the cross and lay him down. Say, Lord, I need you to sort through my back thinking because I really want to be intimate with you in prayer. And I need your help. So I'm just going to list briefly a few things that you might want to consider. And I've written these down so you can have time with them later. Unanswered prayer. Places, like I prayed and prayed and prayed for that and I don't know why I didn't get it. Disappointments, feelings of failure from the past that I have over prayer. I prayed for that person not to die, but they died anyway, and I don't know why. Offense at the Lord over things that have happened. Religious expectations and me comparing myself with others. I'm doing the same thing they're doing, but they're getting blessed. I'm not getting blessed. What's going on? And there's a whole list of them. A spirit of performance. I have these ideas about what successful proper prayer is. I'm carrying a load of self-condemnation, self-hatred that's hidden. And the Lord's got to help us with this stuff because lots of it's really tricky. Words from others which have disturbed me or demeaned me or treatment from others that makes me think about God a certain way because of the way I've been treated. Can we start to unload the camel? That is not from God. It does not line up with what the Lord says about himself. So these are general attitudes of negativity that self-sabotage me from being intimate with God. So we're going to lay them down at the foot of the cross. And as you come into a spirit of prayer, remember, beloved, you're under the blood. You're under the blood. You're forgiven. It's all okay. You're coming into the throne room under his righteousness, not your own. The righteousness of his life, not the mess of your own. And so one of the reasons that people get bored in prayer or get stalled in prayer, I think, is because they don't understand there's more than one part to prayer. Get bored because you're just doing one thing all the time. So let's just look at the various parts of prayer that we've been given. And one of the main ones that I think is the most underutilized power gift the Lord ever gave believers is praying in tongues. Praying in tongues is so unbelievably powerful. If you have your prayer language and you can pray in tongues, that's something you should be doing every day. You should have a dedicated time to doing it. If you go walking, if you go exercising, pray in tongues. Charge up that spirit, man. If you're doing some menial task, some house cleaning, cooking, something that doesn't require your full attention, pray in tongues. If you're sitting out in traffic somewhere, if you're on your commute, pray in tongues. Just take that moment because it charges up your spirit, man. And it helps also focus your mind. When you begin to pray in tongues, when you come into a prayer session with the Lord, it focuses your mind. And it charges up your spirit. And it's so powerful to allow the Holy Spirit to be the first person to pray in your prayer session. That's really what you're doing. You're giving your mouth to his prayer. And a couple of scriptures just to lay a basis for that. Oops, let's do all four before we go in. Acknowledgement. If you remember nothing from this session, would you please remember this word? Acknowledgement. It's me admitting to myself and to God how things really are. And it's a toughie. We're coming back to that. Okay. Supplication or petition, asking for what we want, what we think we should be asking for. And finally, something almost very few believers actually probably do is active listening. That's when I stop talking and just wait before the Lord. And I really encourage you to try to get yourself balanced in all four of those modes, because they are going to add a balance to your time that can't even be described. Okay, let's break that down. Praying in tongues. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues and prayer language as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is a New Testament gift, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let's not neglect it. And secondly, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know how we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That's what's going on. And it's powerful. So let's not neglect that aspect. Acknowledgement. Lack of acknowledgement, especially in prayer, is where most Christians shipwreck their faith and derail themselves. And I read that song before I started. I'm coming back to the heart of prayer. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm saying the chorus there. I bring you more than a prayer, for a prayer in itself is not what you've required. You search much deeper within through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. That's really what the Lord wants from us in prayer, is honesty. And acknowledgement is a little bit different than unloading the camel. Unloading the camel is all the negativity of the past. Acknowledgement is what's going on right now. In my heart, what is my predominant emotion? How do I feel? What's going on? And we can be in a place that's very religious. We're going through all the motions, but we have lost touch with our hearts and where we really are. And there's a very powerful, and acknowledgement can take various forms. The word says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and praise. I can acknowledge something God has done in my life. That's called thanksgiving. I can acknowledge the presence of sin or failure. That's confession and repentance. But everything I acknowledge might not fall into those categories. I might just be saying something like, Lord, I just acknowledge I'm really upset about this situation. I'm really ticked at that person. I don't think they're acting justly. I'm struggling with them in my life. Or, Lord, I just bring this issue before you. It's taken up way too much of my mental energy. And I'm confounded about what I should do about that. Something happened the other day that made me realize I'm not over something that happened in the past. We're just opening this dialogue with the Lord and acknowledging where we are at this moment, unvarnished. Now, I don't know if it's ever happened to you, but when some friend of mine is going through something hard, we can sit down and have coffee and they can talk for 45 straight minutes without hardly getting a word in edgewise. Because they're upset and they're speaking from the heart. So if words are hard in prayer, maybe you're not speaking from the heart. Acknowledgement. Very powerful, very important. And some issues don't require confession, but lots of them, it's just simply I'm saying them out loud to myself in the presence of the Lord. And we've got an example in Scripture of how we shipwreck our faith when we lose acknowledgement out of the equation. David had a fall with Bathsheba. He was going through all the motions. He was showing up at the temple every day. But then in the afternoon, his eye was scanning the rooftops. Something was missing. He was unsatisfied. And of course, women always were David's default position for intimacy. So that's where he went. And that's what happens. And you know, was he bored because he was king? Did he have everything he wanted? I personally think he was just really offended at God. Because after all his laboring, after all the warfare and the struggle, the Lord wouldn't let him build the temple. That's just my reading of it. He didn't understand why the Lord withheld that from him. And it caused a problem. It caused a disconnect. Acknowledgement. He wrote, actually, let's just go to what happens when we do not acknowledge. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the one to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned to the drought of summer, Selah. I acknowledged my sin to you. My iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Just this is talking about sin, but this can even be with much lesser degrees of disobedience. Just our own emotional dysfunction. Just bring it before the Lord. Just bring it before the Lord. And after David fell with Bathsheba, this is what he had to say. This is his summing up. Psalm 51 is his whole summing up. But this is the heart of it. He says this, "You behold, you desire truth in the inward parts. In the hidden part, make me know wisdom. Help me, Lord, to know my own heart so I can keep short accounts with you." Acknowledgement. And this is just one of the best things that we do for ourselves daily with the Lord. And sometimes I'll even be reading the word and there'll be a phrase and I'll go, "Holy jumping Jehoshaphat, that's exactly how I feel right there. I didn't even realize it till the Lord ran it by my eyes. Whoa. Thank you, Lord." He'll help you be the cathartic for you. He'll just actually help you identify how you're feeling. That's powerful stuff. I sometimes we just need to develop that ability to stop engaging the flurry of activity around us and touch base with who we really are in this moment. How do I feel? What do I think? From that place of real, meaningful, authentic exchange between myself, then I bring the Lord into it. That's where powerful prayer takes place. When I lay it all out there, I can finally hear his answers when they come. Things change. So acknowledgement is also, recognizing the places in our lives where the Lord has already intervened. And that's important to do, to give thanks and to acknowledge that. That builds up our faith as well. But the thing that happens with acknowledgement is when I admit to myself and to the Lord, this is what's going on, it's actually, he takes it as an invitation to enter the situation. You've now discussed it with him. Now he is going to begin to move into that aspect that you talked about. And we're told to enter his gates with thanksgiving. And, you know, that we can see how unloading the camel and acknowledgement help us to do the very thing that the scripture is telling us to do. And what we're really doing in these places is we're just simply positioning ourselves properly. Okay, and I think I'm just going to stop there. We're halfway through. And I'm going to ask if there's any questions from last week or anything so far that we've done that you are a comment that you might want to make. Okay. Just think on that for a second. What I really want to do, and we're just a little off time this week, so we won't lay it on, but I'm going to give you in advance a warning. The Lord laid it on my heart that what I really feel we need at the end of this session is to come before the Lord and ask for fresh anointing. Anybody who's a little stalled, a little stale, and just say, "Lord, I just need some fresh oil." We're going to do an anointing with oil and pray for one another. And also, if you have not received your prayer language, we're going to pray for you too in that. So I'm going to just stop right here at this time because I don't want to rush this session on prayer. And I don't want to skim over it. It's just too deep and it's too important. So we'll rest here. Father, I ask for a visitation of your Spirit into the hearts of my beloved brothers and sisters here present and those watching online, that you'd begin to stir up in them the places where they need to unload the camel, the places where they need to start acknowledging their own emotion, the things they can lift up to you to say, "Thank you, Lord. I'm acknowledging you really stepped into that situation and changed it for me." And Lord, also the places that require deeper confession and repentance. And we just ask for the movement of your Spirit, that you would speak to us in the secret place of thunder and meet with us in intimacy. Thank you, Jesus, for all the power you've bestowed on your disciples, that we can ask it in your name and it will be done. That our Father knows what we need before we ask him. So, Lord, help us to be intimate in prayer and not grind, not labor where we don't need to labor, but let it be sweet and easy so we can ride with you on the high places. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, in your mighty and powerful name. Amen.